This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Hello, everybody. This is Patricia W. Fisher with a special Wednesday edition of Readers Entertainment Radio. And here in the United States, it is Thanksgiving tomorrow. And so I will be spending some time with my family, and I know that our guest will be as well. So please, anybody who is spending time with their families, and what I mean by my family is the family that lives in my house right now. We're not traveling anywhere. We're staying home. Lots of Zoom time. And to just kind of kick back and relax a little bit for the holidays. And also, I hope everybody who is going to travel, please be safe on the roads. Please be safe where you go. Social distancing and wearing masks and all that stuff. Really, please be careful. But to also highlight the day, the Australian Firefighters calendar is having a special today. So if you purchase any three calendars, you receive two Christmas envelopes and two reusable shopping bags. And the cool thing about the Australian Firefighters calendars this year is there is a variety. So you've got, of course, the classic shirtless guys with cute animals from rescue facilities all over Australia. But you also have one that's only the animals. And then you have one with the guys with their shirts on. So if you have someone that would love to support Australian firefighters, but maybe a little bit just isn't comfortable with a shirtless firefighter calendar, there's one with the animals only, and there's one with the guys with the shirts on. So if you go to AustralianFirefightersCalendar.com, it is on there. And, you know, those guys were fighting just under a year ago. Those guys were fighting some majorly wicked, awful fires. And so we want to support them because they support a lot of charities in Australia. So give them a shout, AustralianFirefightersCalendar.com. Also, today we have a really cool guest. Her name is Tracy Kimmer, and Tracy loves coffee, popcorn, Drew Barrymore, and the movie Saving Silverman. She enjoys reading great books, of course, and writing realistic characters for you to enjoy. And when she listens to music, she prefers 80s and 90s music that she grew up on. And in a typical day, you'll find her writing at one of her favorite spots on the couch, the kitchen table, or her favorite hometown coffee shop. You can find her at her website, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Amazon. And she writes this great variety of books. So welcome to the show today, Tracy Kimmer. How are you today, my dear?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for meeting me on a Wednesday. I know that the day before Thanksgiving, it's like crazy, but we can kind of sit and talk about books and writing and all that stuff and all those wonderful, fabulous things that we both love.
Well, let me tell you a secret here. Day before Thanksgiving won't be too busy for me because my husband's the one who will do all the cooking.
Oh, nice.
So
nice. Yeah, we've usually traveled at this point. We would go visit family. And, of course, this year we're staying home and kind of basically secluding ourselves. But a lot of Zoom calls tomorrow. And I told the kids just to come up with the menu. So
yeah, we're just doing one. We're doing one Zoom call tomorrow. That's all, just one. Cause my parents don't they don't do technology at all. So I'm pretty much we're gonna do one with my sister-in-law and them tomorrow. But usually that's where we are. We're usually at my sister-in-law's house. But yeah, we're staying home this year. So.
Yeah, I was laughing because there was, I don't remember how long ago it was, and I don't know if you got to see it, but there was a video of this couple, and I'd say they were probably in their 70s, and they'd gotten a new computer, and they didn't realize they were recording themselves trying to figure out the computer, and the granddaughter found it. You know, they were like, we don't know. We couldn't figure out how to use it. It was like FaceTime or something, and they couldn't figure it out. And they're just sitting there just having the most fun. She's really trying to figure it out. He's flirting with her and, like, you know, like poking at her and saying all this saucy stuff. And she's like, oh, stop it. You know, it was delightful. So the granddaughter put it on the Internet. You know, I don't know if they knew, you know.
See, my mom won't even try. She's like, I want nothing to do with it. Just, you know, she has a flip phone that she only uses when she only turns it on when she knows she needs to make a call or she's expecting one, you know, and she called her company and said, I don't want texting, take it off my phone, block it. So,
my dad has a flip phone. Right. Yeah. My dad has a flip phone. We were surprised, you know, my dad is a great guy, but he's not real good at keeping track of stuff sometimes. And so when they said they were going to get a phone, he was going to get a phone. I was like, well, okay. This is going to be interesting. And he's only lost it like twice. And one time he always has pockets, you know, in the front of his shirts. He wears like these same shirts. Mm-hmm. And, he leaned over, they were on a boat and he leaned over and like the phone fell in the water. He just has a flip phone. Then I remember one of the kids were saying, you know, we call him Bumpo. It's like, Bumpo, why don't you text us? He's like, no. But he's a big guy, so he's like, my fingers are too fat. Even if I wanted to, which he doesn't, it wouldn't make any sense because his fingers are too big.
So, I feel like I've got huge fingers, so I feel them. I understand. I'm always like, my big thumbs are always hitting extra letters and stuff like that that don't need to be there. Whenever I text my friend, it always ends with the letter B for some reason. I'm like, I'm not calling you a name. It's just for some reason, it just always puts a B at the end.
Somewhere. There it is. Ta-da. Yeah. I use the voice one quite a bit, but I always laugh about sometimes what it comes up with. You know, it's like, that's absolutely not what I just said.
And that's actually great for dictating too, for writing. I do that a lot, but sometimes trying to decipher what I said after I've dictated it, I'm like, wait, why did I think I said that? And I'd have no idea what I meant to write there because it did not interpret it correctly.
Right. I have a good friend of mine, Jillian Navarro, and she drives quite a ways to and from work. She's a teacher, and obviously with the pandemic, she's not been driving as much because they've been doing a lot of stuff virtually, but she would use Dragon dictation. And she said it wasn't exact, but I mean, if she's driving 70 minutes each way, that's a lot of time in the car that she could be writing, you know.
Exactly. Yep.
So it worked well enough, you know, when she, definitely. But I always laugh about that because I have family members. They're like, well, I don't know why anybody would be worried about doing like, there's a friend of mine she's a stenographer. So she was talking about how after the federal government, so you have to have captions, closed caption. Though the people that can type really quickly, they, you know, can put all the words in and, you know, the captions in. And I said that to a family member a couple years ago. He's like, I don't know why, because computers are just going to take over everything. I'm just like, this is not Skynet. It's just not going to be that good.
Right?
You know, which, you know, I think adds fun characters to books, but there's... You get to the point where you're like, it's not going to happen like that. Oh, well, yeah. Well, family's fun. So I love your bio because you talk about, you know, popcorn and coffee and then Drew Barrymore. What about Drew Barrymore just makes you happy?
She just always has. I always say that we're best friends. She just doesn't know it yet. And I was very happy to find out from a friend of mine that I'm actually only 2 degrees of separation from her.
Wow, because, nice.
Yeah, because my friend, Melissa, has a friend who works for the Drew Barrymore show. So she knows her. So I'm like, oh, cool. I'm only 2 degrees of separation from her now. That's awesome.
Wow.
And she's like, yeah, but I'm only one. But
that's right.
Ever since, you know, I've read like her autobiography, Little Girl Lost. I read that so much when I was younger, and I just always loved her. I've seen almost all of her movies. I know there's some I haven't seen because these days movies are popping out of nowhere that you're like, whoa, where did that come from? You know, and I'm like, you know, you're like, oh, like even like the Santa Clarita Diet. I know you know that show. It was on Netflix and it was, and it was so gory and gross. And I normally don't watch that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I have to watch it because she's in it. And I actually really liked it. I just watched a lot of it with my eyes closed. But yeah, just something about her. I just always, she overcame so much, as a child, in the industry and, in addiction. And she's just, at least from what I see, she's become such a wonderful person. You never know, you meet your celebrity, favorite celebrities, and they turn out not to be as awesome as you thought they were. But, I hope that she would be, she just seems like such a great person. And she just seems like so much fun, somebody you just love to hang out with.
She's, especially as an adult, she seems to have had a lot of, without trying to sound, earthy, I guess, she just seems to have a lot of light positivity around her. She seems, even despite the, all the crazy stuff that's happened in her life. And that could easily be because she, you've read the book and everything. It's quite chaotic as a child. So, she does definitely have some adaption skills that a lot
and
of people
don't. And I haven't seen her talk show yet because for some reason I use YouTube TV and every time I try to watch it, it says this show is not available to watch on here. I'm like, come on. So I haven't even seen her talk show yet. I probably could find it online. I probably should look. They probably have it on her website or something to watch, So I'm like, I don't even know where to watch it because for some reason.
Yeah, they could. And sometimes they'll just take it. They'll have it in chunks. So sometimes you can piecemeal it together.
Yeah.
I've done that. I don't want to watch the whole thing. I've done that with them, Saturday Night Live sometimes because I just want to see certain things. And
I just want to see
now
the
I
intro
feel
and
old.
Weekend update.
Right. I don't want to sit.
Intro weekend update.
Right. Every once in a while, they'll have guests on that are really good. And then sometimes some of the skits are no. That's been forever. That's not just now. There's times that I want to watch the whole thing, but it's not as much. I feel old. In a way, because I'm I don't want to stay up that late.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm in bed by 9:30 every night usually.
Why? When did this happen? I used to just get going at 10:30.
I can barely remember, staying up until 2 in the morning. What was that?
What? How did I do this? And then you have the kids that are fighting to stay. No, I want to stay. No, you don't. I promise nothing will happen while you're sleeping. So
we're always we know it's early, but you know what? We need our own time, so you need to go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been a big one with it's not the lockdown, but I mean, less socialization and the school's adjustment and everything. I mean, it's when am I by myself? Let's see, wait, never.
Right. I know, not since March 13th.
Yes.
It's
funny
you
because
need to go
now.
To the post office, I'll go for you.
Yeah, right. I'll go pick up groceries from the curbside.
Yeah.
You got it. I'll do it. I don't care. Let's take the long way home. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, it's. Yeah. Oh no, yes, it took me 3 hours just waiting. But part of all this is the escapism, and then you have written some wonderful books to help people escape. And I'm looking at them and you've got kind of this lovely wide spectrum of choices in your library. So tell me, what was the catalyst that made you say, you know what, I'm gonna write a book?
Well, ever since I was a little girl, it's all I've ever wanted to do. Probably, I think the first book, I guess you could say, I remember writing. So I filled an entire, what are the notebooks, 70 pages usually, when they're the 70 pages, so 140 pages probably. I wrote my first book, you could say, in probably third or fourth grade. And I just, it's always just been a part of me. I've always written, stories, poems, I used to try to write song lyrics. It's just always been, a part of me. I've never not wanted to write a book, but I finally was with the whole, with self-publishing now and stuff, I was wow, this is something I actually could do. you know, and if nobody reads it, great. If you'd read it, awesome, you know, but I can actually physically hold a book with my name on it, you know, in my hands. Like, so it's just always been something I've wanted to do.
So, and you mentioned self-publishing, or and other people call it indie publishing, but it's, what were some of the things that you thought you knew about self-publishing and then you found out you didn't know?
Oh, that's hard because I have to think back now, you know, how, so the first, one that I have, Pieces of It All, that would have been, I think that was 2014.
Okay.
And I would say the biggest thing is I didn't know how to properly, fit it into, you know, categorize it. I don't think genreize it.
Okay. Right.
So I, when that book first came out, I was so excited. I loved it. And I was like, this is so unique, because it was big during, you know, that was like around, I think, when 50 Shades of Grey was big. And I was like, I like want the anti 50 Shades of Grey type book. So
yeah.
I wrote this book and I promoted it as a contemporary romance. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's not a contemporary romance at all. It's a coming of age book. It does not have the typical happily ever after that you have to have in a romance, you know? So I got a lot of backlash from it. I put it on Goodreads for review, and it was bad. And it's not,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't that the book was bad. It's that I put it out to the wrong group of people. You know, it's like,
right.
It's a contemporary romance, new adults. It wasn't, though, because the ending wasn't what they expected it to be. So that would probably be the biggest thing that I learned is making sure you put it to the correct audience. So now I only advertise that as, you know, new adult coming of age, you know, not romance at all, because it's not.
Right. And if for anyone listening, romance requires, and I don't care, somebody will say, like Nicholas Sparks, you're like, no. It's, and I don't mean to pick on him, but it's that's
oh,
a
I do.
Love story.
Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a love story. Love stories are when you find love and it's lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like the movie Love Story. Romances are happily ever after. So an HEA, at the end of the book, or an HEA for now, end of the book.
Right.
But it can't be, you know, now you could put it at women's fiction. And,
right. And I don't do that.
And that's
this
a different
because
one.
Of the age. Yeah, just because of the age, she's like 18. But I do, some of my books I do put forth as women's fiction, you know, because they are for older, or some of them are seasoned romance because they are older. So I've written from 18 to, you know, 42, you know, for my age range.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if anybody's going to do the self-pub, and I think a lot of people were like, oh, great, self-pub, I can just do that, it'll be easier. And in some ways, I guess it is, because, you know, you get to pick, you know, you get to really, you know, put the book out there the way you want it and everything else. But then the other part of that is there's a lot of things that you need to know, like you're saying. Make sure it's categorized correctly, formatted well. Man, if anybody, if you're looking at, thinking of doing your own book, and then you see the comments about people saying this book was horribly formatted, you will lose readers faster than anything.
Mm-hmm.
They are not very patient with badly formatted books. And then what else did you find? Did you find, just kind of the editing process? I mean, what was something that was a kind of a surprise to you?
I think what it's not still a surprise to me, but it's probably the most grueling process for me is, and it, I don't know how this sounds, but I didn't know how many times I had to read my own book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, you write it, then you read it and make some changes, and then you want to get it ready before you send it to any beta readers, before they come back at you and say, you know, this is great, but this all needs to change. Then you need to make those changes. And you need to read it again. And it's like, by the time it's done, and then, you know, you get the edits, and then you're like, oh, now I got to go through it again. Like, I love my book, but my God, I'm sick of reading it. you know?
Yeah.
So I
yeah.
realized how much I'd be reading the same thing. And then at that time, for me at least, it gets difficult to go back and go, okay, where was this in the timeline? Even if I write it down,
oh,
I'm just
right.
like, you know, did that already happen? Because I feel like it already happened, but it didn't, because it's just that I've read it so many times. I know that it happens, you know, I'm like,
yeah.
oh wait, no, I didn't get there yet. You know, it just, it gets to be confusing too.
Yeah. And you know, you have to, I mean, I'm not mentally organized enough to say, oh yeah, that's right. So I'm literally like making notes to myself, scribbling
mm-hmm.
it down as I'm reading to make sure that I've, you know, check.
Right.
And yeah, it's a lot. And so sure, if you do self-pub, there's freedom because you pick your release dates, you pick your covers, you pick
yeah.
all this other stuff, but you do everything. And
mm-hmm.
And
you don't
you
have a team
have to,
behind you.
Right. Well, I mean, you can make a team. Like, you know, if you're talking about your beta readers
well,
or you know, you find someone to make
right.
sure that the editing's good. But you're paying all that out of pocket too.
Right.
So
right.
yeah, I mean, there's advantages to both, I think.
I'm just
but,
way too impatient yeah. to wait for like, you know, oh yeah, you know, to send out 3,000 letters and get, you know,
mm-hmm.
2,999 rejections and then have to wait a whole year after that for it to be published. I've never been a patient person, so that just doesn't
right.
work for me.
So the basic takeaway from this, dear listeners, is do your homework. Make sure that you put out a really quality book, because I promise you readers are very hungry for material right now. But if you waste their time with a badly formatted or badly plotted book, you will not have any more readers. So, but Tracy didn't do that because she put out an amazing book. And so you've got the Unfortunate Fall. Is out. That's your most recent release, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So tell me about
that,
this one.
That. So it's actually the second book in what will be a 4-book series. But each
right.
book is, it's based on a group of 4 friends. So each book is their own story. They're like a chick lit romance. So I really, as you saw and heard from the intro, I really like my 80s and my 90s.
Oh yeah.
So as a kid, I always liked to play that game MASH, the mansion, apartment, shack, house. And
oh,
for
right,
those
right.
who don't know, yeah, you'd write down, you know, on a piece of paper, you know, what your future job would be, where you'd live, what type of car you'd have, and then you do something to cross everything out until you come up with your future, I guess you could say. So I wanted to
right.
write a book based upon that game. And that's how the first book, The Mashup Summer, came along. And then the second book, The Unfortunate Fall, I took the origami or paper fortune tellers. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
You'd write
mm-hmm.
things on the inside, and then you'd kind of do a weird hand motion to kind of move. You'd count and spell words and move it till you came up with your fortune. So that's kind of how those two came about. And then the third book, I'm actually... my plan was to have it ready in December, but
mm-hmm.
I'm still writing it now because I took a break, so it won't be out till next year now. But that's The Charming Winter, and that one I'm basing on. Remember those little like charms that you collect for bracelets? They were plastic.
Oh yeah.
And
you
like little keychains, things you could attach. So I'm making them that one's based on a bracelet like that. So I'm kind of trying
okay.
to have a little fun with the 80s theme, but they all take place in I'll say current time. I'm not including any type of COVID related. It's like that's not existent in my books. But it is written in the current time, you know, time period and in the current time, but it's all based upon things from the past.
Okay.
So it's called
well, I mean,
rewind,
and I do love
the rewind
yeah.
series. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because the kids will be like, "Mom, have you ever heard this song?" And I'm like, "Yes."
Like, right.
And I was wearing a shirt the other day. It was the Beatles was on it, and my son said, "Mom, when were the Beatles famous?" And I was like, "They've always been famous, honey."
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
"Still
oh,
are."
Yeah.
We watched the American
yeah.
Music Awards the other day, and they had like Belle Biv DeVoe was on, and they had Nelly on, And my son was like, this is just crazy. We're like, my husband's like, you need to sit down and I need to play you some music, you know, because he's like, the stuff they're making these days, you know. And now with the Fresh Prince being really big, he's like, I'm going to play you some Fresh Prince and DJ Jesse Jets, you know, because he's like, you think you're listening to like hip hop now. Let me show you. I said, just be careful what you let him listen to, you know. I said, don't be bringing any like, you know, Two Live Crew to this kid, you know. But but yeah,
right.
Like, you know,
no, we're gonna not do the song. Is that we're not gonna do
right?
That.
Yeah, not that one either. But yeah, it's just, I just love everything about all that time period. You know, the '80s and the '90s. I love it. You know, so I wanted to, I guess, bring it to life somehow.
Well, it was funny because my daughter, we showed them Goonies, and a couple of, was it last Christmas, I think. And I'm watching, I'm like, oh, wow, there was a lot of very colorful language in this PG movie.
Even the part when he passed the rearview mirror and he puts it down so he can see down, see up the girl's tennis skirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
I
forgot that was in there.
Right. And it's interesting because I look at them and go, oh, this is also typical 80s movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, and we were laughing about that last night because we were watching The Abyss, and the kids were watching. And there's a parts where like, okay, you know, close your eyes. But and there was, again, it's James Cameron in the 80s. We all know there's going to be enough, as my kids call them, sunshine words. And then there's at least, you know, one boob shot. And I had totally forgotten about that. It's like, and we don't go, oh my God. We go, okay. And the kids all just go, okay. But it's interesting to watch because when we watch Goonies, my oldest kept saying, why does he have shorts on over his warm-ups? Why does this keep happening? You know, because James Brolin is running around, you know, with warm-ups and shorts on over his warm-ups. And that she just couldn't get through that. I'm like, well, it's cold, apparently, in Astoria or wherever they filmed. And, you know, it's like, she's like, this makes no sense. And,
well, then
and
you know
of course, I'm like,
you need to show her Jane Fonda.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Where they wear the tights with the swimsuit top or swimsuit.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And the
that's
leg
right.
warmers.
Yes, of course. Well, unlike that movie Perfect, which I probably wouldn't show him because it's just absurd. But I mean, the whole, you know, and everybody's hair looked so good. You know, you've been in aerobics class for an hour, and everyone looks just flawless. It's like, no,
right?
That's not what happened. Oh, but it was funny for Goonies for James Brolin because I'm like, guys, that's Thanos. And they're like, what?
My son's good at that. I'm actually terrible at that. I'll be like, isn't that the person from? My husband will go, don't even try, because you're just terrible at this. But my son's actually really good at that. But yeah, I know when they look at that, they're like, oh, or they'll hear a song. Like, we like to watch the Goldbergs. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we like that, and they'll be like, they'll hear a song on the radio. That's from the Goldbergs. I'm like, well, actually, no, that is a song from the 80s, and they used it in the Goldbergs because that takes place in the 80s. But the song is from the 80s. It's not from the Goldbergs.
Right. Yeah, we've watched Mixed-ish, and a lot of the same. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, you know.
I haven't gotten into that one. We watched Black-ish, but I haven't gotten into Mixed-ish. I tried that one, but I didn't get into that one.
Well, and it's interesting because I remember having, and it just didn't occur to me that it was within, you know, basically the first generation of kids after Loving versus Virginia, and in the sense of, you know, their parents' marriages or unions were considered legal by U.S. standards, which was absurd, but in the sense of that it ever should have been illegal. But I just didn't even think about it. And I had friends of mine who had, parents were interracial, and it just never occurred to me if they'd be going through any sort of identity crisis. And I think part of that's because we're also narcissistic in middle school and high school. And I don't think it was probably anything anyone talked about, at least not with other people who wouldn't understand it. And so seeing that, I'm like, wow. Of course, my kids are like, okay. Like, it's like, yeah, so she's from an interracial marriage. Okay. And I'm like, okay, but see, that's the point. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that was the whole point, is now you look at it and go, yep, those are her parents. And you're like, ah, yes, well, let's put some historical context.
It makes me happy when my kids see stuff like that, or like they see, they'll see like we have like Schitt's Creek on for some reason, and they'll see like,
yes,
you know, David and Patrick, like, and it doesn't even faze them. I'm like, oh, that makes me happy to know, as like, as a parent or whatever, that they don't see that, they're not bothered by that, that it's that they accept everything. But then you're like, wow, there's a lot they have to learn about what it took to get there.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because,
and
they don't realize there was a struggle.
Right. Well, and you know, my son is in seventh grade, and in Texas they do Texas history in seventh grade, and there's a lot of stuff in Texas history they don't teach about why there was such a fight for independence and blah blah blah. And so thankfully my sister-in-law has a PhD in history, and so she and I have talked about it, and she's like, oh yeah, it was this and this and this. I'm like, oh okay, well let me, you know, fill in the gaps. And I mean, like you're saying, no, it wasn't the Goldbergs, it was the actual 80s. Is parents filling in those gaps of information? You know, so our kids don't go out in the world and say, oh yeah, this was this great song from the Goldbergs. And someone goes, no, that's not how. No. So we've gotten like very deep in our conversation, which I absolutely adore.
Yeah.
I know, it's fabulous. But I also wanted to talk some more about your books, but you're also going to be part of the Holly Jolly Chicklet Hop. So tell me about this.
So that's an annual thing through a group that I'm a part of on Facebook called Chicklet Chat Headquarters. It's like I see it in my head, you know, but I never say it out loud. So I'm like, what? How is it called again?
Wait, how many letters?
That's a group of, right? That's a group of, you know, chicklet, romance, rom-com, you know, writers, women's fiction, and we do have authors and bloggers, and also just readers in the group. But every year, the leader of the group, Tracy Bannister, she puts together, I mean, there's so much she does put this together. It is just insane. And there's always like three big grand prizes, and then every author has their own prizes. So every day there is a different, there's like maybe six or seven or eight authors every day who are featured in, and then on their page, on their author page, they actually have the giveaway that they're doing, and there's always whatever you have to do to enter it. And so you can win a prize on every author, you know, there's a chance to win. But then if you go to every author's, you know, page and comment and do their thing, and then you enter in on the main post for that day, all that week, you have a chance to win one of the big grand prizes, which is really big. So like, I'm going to be giving away like an 80s 90s themed pack. So a copy of The Mashup Summer. I have a Lisa Frank, you know, notebook, if you know Lisa Frank. So she does the colorful, you know, the colorful animals and stuff. So everyone has a different thing that they're giving away. Some do gift cards, some do eBooks. It just all, you know, depends. Some do, you know, soaps and lotions. It just all depends. So that's going on. I'm sorry, I don't have the date in front of me right now, but it's like the first week of December. It ends on the 13th, I think. So it's that week of that week that it is. So, and I'm so unprepared. I don't have the link with me.
No, it's okay. So
Holly,
it's December.
Holly,
it's
Jolly,
the, yeah. Right. So the hashtag is Holly Jolly Hop. And it's December 7th through the 13th. And so you're going to have, like you're saying, you're going to have a ton of authors participating, and they'll have it all listed on the Facebook page, and then authors will have it on there. So you'll have yours on there, and there's people like Priscilla Olivares and Terry Wilson, who, you know, Terry Wilson's written some books for Hallmark, and she's had Unleashing Mr. Darcy. She's got that series going, and then there's plenty of others. There's Rich Amui, who does plenty of romance, rom-coms, and there's just a ton of authors. There's Kate O'Keefe is in the group mm-hmm. as well.
Love her.
And so there's just if you just kind of do a search, Nagin Papin is in there. There's just this really wonderful wide variety of writers and people that want to get their books out and want to, you know, find readers and basically help you escape for a little while. That should all be out there.
So there's an actual group called Holly Jolly. So the event takes place in there, and then every day it'll link out, you know, list the authors and link out to their pages, you know, for you to go there and enter to win their prizes. So it's a lot of fun. It gets pretty crazy. It's a lot of fun.
It is. And I mean, everybody, I think it's one of those things that we're just like, and this is why we do this, you know, as writers, you mm-hmm. want to be able to and get new readers and of course thank readers that have been with you. So it makes them, it's just a lot of fun. It is crazy. You're right. It is a crazy, you know, 5 or 6 days. But it is a lot of fun. So you've got this series and you talked about the third book in your series. And now do you have an idea what you're going to do for your fourth? Because you mentioned it was going to be four.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. I just haven't decided what, because originally it was going to be all just like games. I'm like, you know, I can't really, what am I going to do? Like red light, green light, you know, like I can't think of something for that, you know, so that's where I came up with the bracelet. So I'm really trying to think of something that was like big in my life, you know, in the 80s or 90s that I can somehow, you know, incorporate. Like I thought, like even I could do like maybe the Magic 8-Ball or something like that. I thought Mad Libs would be cool, but then I thought, well, then you might be getting into copyright territory with the Mad Libs.
Right.
So I'm like, well, I probably can't do that. So I'm just trying to think of some fun ideas that I can do. Like I know the book is going to be Danny's book, so I know who it's based on. She's a photographer, so I've got Gwyneth, you know, so I'm just going to play mm-hmm. and see what I can come up with. I still got time.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about what you would do off the photographer angle. Like, she could see something through the lens.
Like, you know, different things too, like Polaroids, or because that was still somewhat of a thing, or, you know, the actual.
Ooh,
you know,
what if you did
film.
A viewfinder?
Oh, that'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. That might be kind of fun. And for people
do
who
a
don't
viewfinder.
Know what that is, right?
That for actually those of you who are not.
All right. Yeah, that makes me think of an episode. We started watching Million Dollar Listing, and
uh-huh.
like we're like obsessed with it. We're on the last season that they just finished. You know, we have to start that one yet. But there was actually an episode where the project wasn't finished yet. So I think it was Frederick. He put what the apartments would look like on a viewfinder, and the people who mm-hmm. came in would actually look at the viewfinder to see what the apartment was going to look like. I'm like, that's really cool.
Oh, wow.
So that might work.
Yeah, that could work. I, you know, if you do, I just let me know so I can say, I was there when she came up with that. So it's all
well,
good
I'd
and she developed that idea.
Acknowledgement. So, you know.
Woohoo! That's exciting. It really, I mean, it is. It, some people think that it's not a big deal, but it is really sweet when someone says, and thank you so much, you know, whoever.
I always use acknowledgments. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is, because those are all the people that have helped you get to wherever you are. And even if it's something as small as thank you for making my coffee every morning, or thank you for, you know, turning all the lights off at the end of the day, it makes a difference. I mean, it's just
well, you honestly
it's all those
can
little
find
things.
New authors that way too, because you mm-hmm. you read it and you're like, oh, that I never heard of that author. That author helped them with this book. I like this book. Maybe I should check out a book by that author. You know, so that happens
right.
too.
Yeah, I think it makes a little bit more personal. Like you feel like you're really like supporting all these other people that mm-hmm. supported this person. So you're talking about the degrees of separation, so 2 degrees away from
yeah.
this person.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. Has there been anything that you haven't written about yet that you want to? That's kind of like one of those back burner projects?
I mean, I have a lot. I mean, I actually have one book that I'm probably about 3/4 of the way through that I just haven't even finished yet because I got, you know, I was writing it because I wanted to write the mashup Summer, but I just wasn't feeling it at the time. But then, like, it hit me. So I'm like, okay, put this one down and I'll write this one. You know, so then it kind of went to the back burner. And then I started working at it again when The Unfortunate Fall was you know, being edited. And then, like, I got the edits back. So then I put it back on the back burner. I actually have a full outline ready for a suspense thriller romance that I want to write. What else? I have another, I have got another like contemporary romance started. So I've got a lot of ideas. I always like, I'll come up with an idea and then like I'll email it to myself so I don't forget and keep it unread until I write it somewhere.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got, I've got a bunch of ideas.
Yeah. It's just, it's never ending. You know, there's every once in a while when I'm falling asleep at night and I'll think, God, if I had a magic wand and I could just wave it and have all the stuff that I've written, half of stuff, half the stories to just be finished, like beautifully done and edited. And it's like the most amazing stories. It's, you could still fill up a whole nother hard drive with ideas. It's endless. I mean, I'm assuming that you have friends that go, how do you come up with your ideas? And you probably have just all sorts of notes and everything that you use.
A lot of times it's honestly just a title for me. Like that's usually what starts it for me. Like a title hits me and I'm like, oh, okay. Well now how can I make that a book? Cause I really love that title.
Right. Yeah. I've done that before too. It's like, oh yeah, that would be cool.
My
it's
book
interesting.
Yeah. Decades. That came out of, I was watching, I think it's called The Other Woman with Cameron Diaz. And she's like, she says, literally been dating for decades. I'm like, that's a good title for a book.
It's a good title for a book. Wow.
So then I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, like if you see movies or whatever, you're like, oh, I wonder if, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun mindset, although it can be just as frustrating as it is fun to obviously be always be thinking about another story or another twist to it.
Right.
But it keeps us sane, sort of. Sort of. So I really appreciate you being here today. This is amazing. And I am so looking forward to
having me.
Absolutely. And The Unfortunate Fall, a rewind romance, is out now. It's book two of her series. The first one is A Mashup Summer, and both are available on Amazon and every place else that you could get your books.
Mm-hmm.
And are you're on BookBub as well?
I am on BookBub, yes.
Okay. And if you don't know about BookBub, it is a really cool centralized place for all of, if you're looking for really good deals, and then you can follow your authors and they have all the formatting. So if you're more of a Kobo or a Nook person, you can link to the downloads for that. And it always can send you out great deals and make you basically go broke because of all the really good deals and books that come out all the time. And then authors get to like other authors. And so if you like an author, like you're saying, you can go and look at another author. So, I mean, that's always fun and time well spent, I believe. So nice bit of escapism. So, but thank you so much. And I hope that you guys stay safe and you can get your stuff finished so we can have even more fabulous books for 2021.
All right, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. And please come back when you have your next books out and we can talk some more.
I'd love to. Thank you.
Absolutely. And everybody listening, please stay safe when you travel or you're social distancing with family, and please wear your masks and wash your hands and that sort of thing. And please stay safe for the holidays. And don't forget, Tracy Krimmer was our guest today. You can find her at her website, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Amazon, as well as on BookBub. And I will also have the information for the Holly Jolly Chicklet Hop and the write-up of the show. So all of that's in there. And then don't forget, the Australian Firefighters Calendar is out now, and there's a special. Purchase any three calendars and receive two Christmas envelopes and two reusable shopping bags for free, and support those guys because they've had a pretty tough year too. So help them out because they help tons of other charities. And thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been Patricia W. Fisher with Readers Entertainment Radio.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.